We've asked Brother Jim Parkinson to open up this meeting with a word of prayer. Brother Jim?
Our dear Heavenly Father, hallowed be thy wonderful and most holy name. We thank thee for thy mercies. We'd ask for thy blessing on this meeting, that by we may edify one another. Help us not only to learn more of thee and of thy dear Son and thy plans and purposes, but to apply our strength to thy honor. We thank thee above all for the gift of thy dear Son as our Redeemer, Jesus Christ. Amen.
We do have a roaming mic, so when you want to testify, make sure you raise your hand, and when recognized, please wait for the microphone. And we also asked Brother Lee Hicks to be the chairman for the testimony meeting, so I'll turn the podium over to Brother Lee.
Good afternoon, brethren. It gives me great pleasure once again to attend the San Diego Convention. We've done this now for, I still count the years, when we realized that it's going to be on the 4th of July. I just told the wife, we are going. One of the things about testimony meeting, I remember, this is for the old times, like in the 50s, my wife had just became a Bible student. And we used to travel from Sacramento to Ocilama. And there, I was not a Bible student at the time, but I was a friend of the Bible student. I noted one thing. They testified. I noted another thing, that during the testimony meeting, it seemed like the crowd would thin out a little bit. But I would sit there. So one brother came to me and said, Brother, says, why do you sit at every testimony meeting? I said, I love it. I was so carried away with the testimony that the brethren was given. And just listen to them pour out their heart and having the dear brethren sit and listen to them. It's not many of us, so you're going to have plenty of time to testify. But first, I'd like to bring the love and greeting from my ecclesia in San Luis Obispo, and from my son, Bernard, and my daughter-in-law, Saturday. Also, I would like to extend the love from Brother Bill Hart from the retirement center. He wished to have his love sent to the brother here today. You know, one of the things that the scripture tells us, that we should always praise the Lord, giving him thanks for all the wonderful gifts that he has given us. Myself, as being now a senior citizen, I see a lot of people here with gray hair like me. And it's not the gray hair. It is the honor that you receive the gray hair. I know some of us received it very honorably. And I myself am just so thankful that being alive at this time, seeing all the things that is unfolding in the world today, not understanding it all, but appreciating that the Lord's work is going forth and directing a lot of activities in the minds of mankind today. We're going to start out a testimony meeting, and you can give your ecclesial name and your name, and you won't be pressed to cut it short. We have a roving mic. I understand if you hold it close to your mouth, you get good reception. If you hold it far out in front of you, it's not going to be too good. So who want to be first to testify something? Brother Jim.
Okay. Jim Parkinson, San Gabriel Valley, California, both east and south of Burbank. And over the years, I've had lots of lovely experiences, conventions and so forth. But over this past year, I've had an interesting one. It's going to be interesting to see what else develops from it. There's a couple that has come to the fair booth the last two or three years, called Fred and Michelle. And last year, when she came to the fair booth, she said, may I ask you a question? I said, yes, I can answer every question. I can always say, I don't know. Pause. I like that answer. Some months later, I was at a Costco that I don't generally shop at, and they saw me. They gave me a chance to talk just a little bit more. And I gave them still another booklet. And didn't think much more about it after that, but coming home from the Phoenix Convention in February, I was wondering now, where am I going to eat a little late lunch or early dinner? The one that would take the least time would be a soup plantation. That's like a sweet tomatoes in Arcadia. And so I got into line, hadn't been in line 1 minute before I heard voices behind me and talking about me. And I looked back, Fred and Michelle again. In January, she had broken her foot, and she had been there for medical treatment that afternoon, and so they were just having an early dinner. So we wound up eating together, and let's say that we were there for a little longer than most folks eat dinner. And when she had to go, and when the two of them had to go, she said, I've learned more in 4 hours than I've learned in 12 years in our church.
Thank you, Brother Jim, for that wonderful testimony. And just a word about Brother Jim. I remember meeting him, that's been a long time ago.
52 years?
Won't give out too many secrets. But I remember him on the platform. At that time, my wife and I went to a convention in Sacramento. I was so impressed with him that I asked him for his telephone number. And I wrote it in my Bible. It was a short number at that time. I remember. And my son Bernard still, I gave the Bible to him, so he still has it. So just friendship and love of the brother goes back a long ways. Thank you for the comment. Who will be next? Brother Brad.
Brother William, brethren, Bob Rand from the local ecclesia here in San Diego, had some experiences recently involving my mother, who has advancing dementia. And some good life lessons for both Terry and I. It has to do with how my father passed away about 5 or 6 years ago, so it's just my only surviving parent and my mother, and it has to do with the disbursement of her belongings. And my parents had a long marriage and lived in many homes. My father was in the Navy, so we moved around a lot and had lots and lots of belongings and furnishings and so forth. So about, 20 years ago or so, 15, 20 years ago, when they were both in good health, they asked that I and my two brothers come over, and they had some belongings that they wanted to start distributing. And I was, of course, wondering, now, how are my brothers and I going to figure this out amongst ourselves as to who gets what? My dad had like a flight jacket that we all wanted and different things. And so what they did, it was a very, very clever arrangement. We arrived and they had all the things they wanted to give away scattered around the living room floor. And they said, we're going out to dinner. When we get back, we want everything gone. we all, my brothers and I, looked at each other like, well, how are we going to figure this out? But we did, and it worked out fine. But as my, after my father passed away, and with my mother needing to go into different living facilities, we had to keep shrinking down her belongings to where she has virtually nothing, actually. And it's been a good lesson, because she's gone from, you know, moving vans full of belongings to just a very few items. And it's been a good lesson in terms of the temporal nature of what we have. And so many of the items are not family heirlooms. There's no intrinsic value. They can either just be given away, maybe to something like goodwill, or thrown away if absolutely nobody wants them. And a lot of them do end up getting thrown away because you know, you don't want to store them for no purpose. So it's been a great lesson in terms of the temporary nature of our belongings and the much greater value of spiritual things that do not diminish and do not spoil or rust and so forth, as the scriptures mention. Also, another good lesson regarding her condition of perhaps Alzheimer's or moderate to increasing dementia is, I always thought of the scripture, work while it is called day, because the night comes when no man can work. We apply that in different ways. But it can be applied on an individual basis to ourselves. You know, when our mind goes, as new creatures, we really, our opportunity to make our call and election sure is gone when our mind goes, even though we're still alive. So we really need to take maximum advantage of the opportunities we have when we are clear-minded, because that's our testing time. And of course, that's also brief and passes quickly. So some good lessons for us in the midst of what is a difficult experience to see a loved one go in that direction. So we're thankful for those experiences and wanted to share them with the brethren. Happy to be here.
And thank you for your testimony. It is a trying experience for us to experience our loved ones when their mind is not as accurate as it was in the beginning. I experienced that with my mother and having some experience with my wife. And I sympathize with you. I think Brother Paul has his hand up next.
Paul Malley from the Rotten Bible Students Ecclesia. And I say that very humbly because we only have a few people. It's a nice experience in China. We were invited to come over to China to lecture to 5 universities. Well, I was delighted over that. And so we went over. There were several of us. Todd Alexander was one, and Hank Wang, which you don't know, was one of the Chinese that we used for translation. And I was just so impressed with China, with the high level of culture that they have. You stand in Shanghai in the center of town, you thought you would think you would be in New York. Skyscrapers is just as tall, if not taller, and trains and the buses are just as modern as can be. So we went to Shanghai, Beijing, Shandong, Jurian, and another one I can't remember. And every group that we dealt with was almost 150 to 300 varied. They all wanted to hear American professors speak, and it was in English. And I raised that question. I said, they're going to understand us? Oh yeah, they've been studying English for a long time. So we were having dinner that evening, and I noticed the dean, who invited us, she was very joyful and very happy to have us. And she is very talkative, and she was just happy about this whole situation. And as we were sitting there eating, this great big man came in, big body, black suit. He came in and he just walked over to the dinner table and sat down and started, you know, they have the rotating tables, and started selecting his food. Meanwhile, I noticed that the dean all of a sudden shut up, didn't say anything. And I thought that was unusual. And then after dinner, this big man came over to me. He says, "I understand we have a couple of professors here going to speak to the students." I says, "Yes, you're right there." He says, "Well, I'm the president of the Communist Party." I says, "You're the president of the Communist Party? Why are you here?" He says, "I wanted to see if you would mind if I came and hear your lecture." I says, "Come on over. You're welcome." And so the following morning, I says, "He won't show up." He showed up. And so I went ahead with my lecture. I was careful not to use the word God or Jesus in it. We were instructed by this Hank Wang, who says that it would be labeled as a Chinese religious conversion artist. They're after you people. You don't want no conversions there. It's wild. The ideas coming into China is wild. So I was careful not to do that, but we talked about the Bible and we talked about Moses, big engineer, and Paul, a masterful marketing man who went around converting people. We use the modern applications of these things, but we didn't mention God or Jesus. At the end of the lecture, he came up to me and he says, "I enjoyed that." I says, "Well, thank you. I hope you would." And he left. Now, in retrospect, I see a couple of things being generated. I've got this publishing company out of China that wants to publish my new book. It's not a religious book, it's a secular book. And I was surprised already. "We have a contract for you," being a contract, I can tell Russell that it was a contract, all right. And we're going to publish 4,000 copies immediately, and then we'll see how that goes. We'll go after some more. I can't imagine. Maybe this man had provoked this company to look me up. And secondly, we had brought a lot of first volumes, illustrated first volumes, and we distributed them to all the libraries. They were very happy to take the library, the first volume copies into the libraries, and they thanked us. Well, of course, we didn't charge them for anything, but we just said, "This is a copy you can put in the library." Oh, we're delighted to do that. And now we have another issue. Todd is having translated the New Testament, and I'm getting through with translating all the six volumes into Chinese. And so we're proceeding. That's going to be our goal. In 2 years, we are going to go to China and open up a public meeting with the public, and we'll advertise and we'll hand out tracts and so forth. But we're going to try to reach the public, and we'll have the volume. volumes and the New Testament, and 2 days of seminars in 2 years, we're still around. Thank you.
Thank you for that wonderful testimony. Our prayer will be with you, and we pray that the Lord would continue to bless you on your work in China.
Thank you. Brother Lee and friends, glad to be with you. You know, whenever Brother Paul talks about China, I think about an experience in China. I've told Brother before, I spent 6 days in Hong Kong with the hope of getting into China. And there's no way. I interviewed even pastors and Christian pastors that said, well, I was born in China and I couldn't get back in, you know, to go for the truth. As soon as I got back home, Brother David Yongbor had a business trip taking him to China. And that was the first introduction. And now Brother Todd and Brother Valley are having an introduction. I'm just thrilled that there is some opening for the truth. I'd like to just mention one experience. I told maybe some of the local brethren about the brethren in Bungoma, Kenya before. And I got a recent email from Sister Elizabeth Nafuna. Now, I was in the class there. There were a lot of people gathered at the time, so I don't really remember who this person is, but she is the elected class secretary of the class now. And she sent an email and said, us sisters were sitting in the congregation. We thought, you know, we can warm the benches here, or we can go do something. So they decided they were going to go out in public witness. So they met one Saturday, a couple of months ago, for 2 hours on Saturday, just for prayer. And after the 2 hours of prayer, they went out for 2 hours of witnessing. And she reported, we caught 7 fish. what a lovely testimony. Well, now I just got a note since I've been, you know, just the last few days. She says, their witnessing included 3 different pastors at various times, and now they have 3 congregations that are looking for the truth. And the pastors want to take the message to those congregations, so they've sponsored people to go out. Well, who's going to pay for this to go out? Now, Sister Chai is very good in supporting a lot of the work we do in Uganda and Bungoma, and other people contribute as well. But these sisters didn't ask for anything. She said, we took the good example of this one sister, whose name it's like Amelia or something, I can't remember. While I was there, there was a shortfall in the funding. And unbeknownst to me, this one sister in Kenya came forward with the equivalent of $75 to pay for some meals for people that otherwise would not have been paid for. And I found out later, and I inquired about her name. Well, she says, the sisters decided in memory of her example to all contribute together. So they've contributed money to send people out to witness to these churches. Now they got Bible studies in these 3 churches. And it just warmed my heart to know that the sisters are trying the best they can to do something because of the appreciation of the truth. Now, we still have ongoing, we have a lot of brothers, you know, that are going out and leading seminars, so much so that we probably have 30 seminars a month now in Kenya and 30 in Uganda. And it's just, the work is blossoming. And I'm just amazed to see how the Lord has just kind of worked and pulled the strings and answered the prayer of faith of so many people. I'm just kind of a bystander to this. I'm involved a little bit, but mostly just looking from the outside in and seeing the remarkable progress. So I ask the Lord's blessing to continue.
Thank you, Brother David. It is evidence that the Lord word is getting out there. It is amazing that these women perhaps had heard or read in the scripture that they would become fishermen of women. And included in that net, men's also. So that's wonderful work, and we definitely extend our prayers and hope that the Lord's work in Kenya will continue. I've read a lot of your input that you send, and I'm just thrilled to see so many people in Kenya, you know, with all the other turmoil they have there. May the Lord add his blessing to them. Brother Russell.
Good afternoon, brethren. I meant to say earlier when Brother Lee offered his prayer at our discourse that both Brother Lee and I shared a very unique experience in the Jordan. And that was a blessing just to bring that back to mind even recently when we had gone to Israel in March. We weren't quite at the same place, at least I don't think it was. And then we've been having an experience at the office, which this past week, just before we left to come here, we've been a part of a Bible study group there for many years. And it's first started by a librarian in our company, and then I and several others started participating, and then over the course of the years, some have gone, we've had kind of a turnover of sorts. But more recently, it's kind of settled in on eight attending, four men, four women, I being one of the four men. And unfortunately, there was some instance where I was not able to attend, at which time, a vote was taken to, instead of having a verse-by-verse Bible study, which we had been accustomed to doing for a good number of years, that they would instead, for a period of time, look at a series of videos that were commercially available about the Bible. And the minister, his name is Sproul, S-P-R-O-U-L. And the librarian who started, his name is Gerard, who started the study group, had come to me privately and kind of said, he said to me, I know you're not going to like this, but he wanted to at least kind of paved the way for me that there had been a change of sorts in the format of the meetings. So now we watch basically a 25-minute video as part of a 50-some-odd video series. And just recently, it has to do with the tabernacle. And we were watching, and we watched the video, and this minister was talking about the different sacrifices, and he's talking about the Atonement Day, and he starts mentioning the lamb and other things. And you can see he was kind of blending different sacrifices together in terms of the way he's presenting his comments. So I had kind of spoken up in the context of that particular session at the end and made a few remarks. And then one of the women afterwards in the afternoon stopped by my place and she posed the question, how do you know, what's the truth? How do you know that the Bible is teaching this or that? Because obviously I took exception, and she noted that. And I'm hoping, Lord willing, to at least try to introduce her in some, staged manner, because obviously she's not very familiar with Scripture. But it's a nice experience to be able to have it in your office, because that doesn't happen too often for many to have an opportunity of having a Bible study in the office. And it's been a blessing over the years in terms of our opportunities to at least express ourselves here and there on different topics. So I'd like to raise my voice to the Father in thanksgiving for that opportunity as it continues. And you never know how it will materialize, of course. A lot of disappointments here and there, especially with Gerard, because after all these years, in some areas we've made great progress, and we have a respect for one another. I believe he is consecrated. He's a committed Christian, and I think he has a regard for me now as a Christian. And that initial contact was actually started by a brother in the New Brunswick Ecclesia who worked at a printing plant around the corner from the office where I am, and he met Gerard in the park at lunch hour, and for quite some time had originally started this interchange until, I guess, Gerard had enough of Brother Mike. Some of the comments didn't quite sit well with him at the time. He just wasn't ready, I think, for further discussion. But then, lo and behold, the Lord kind of put Gerard in my path, and Gerard didn't have much choice about it, and we've made some progress, but not as much as I'd like. But I do thank the Lord, and I'm thankful to be here among the brethren.
Thank you for your testimony. I'm sure the Gerard is his name. Undoubtedly, he recognized you as a very learned individual, and perhaps I like the idea that he asked the question. Was he asked the question? What is the truth?
No, another woman.
Another woman.
A woman in the study group.
That's a good question.
who I don't even know. Yes. She just is another employee in a large office.
Thank you again for your testimony. Who will be next? still have quite a few more minutes.
I'm Brother David Stein from Allentown, and I'd like to lift my voice and tell you how much I've come to appreciate God's promises. On October 1st, 2009, I was laid off from a job I had for 30 years. Not a job, but a company that I worked for 30 years. And, of course, it immediately produces some consternation. How are you going to make a living? My background was varied, but among the fields that I was in was engineering, so I see if I could find a job in engineering. And I was 59 years old at the time, and I didn't even land one single interview, so we were kind of concerned. I had a wonderful experience about a month later at the Collinsville Convention. This is in late October of 2009. Brother Ken Lawson was talking about, from the platform, his experiences being unemployed in the printing industry. And he had set a standard for himself. He said, you know, brother, he says, I never prayed for a job. I just prayed for spiritual gifts. Well, of course, he's retired, and I'm in the position he was, and I was curious about that, so I went to speak with him. And he said, you know, this is not a standard that I want to lay on anybody else, but he says it was a standard for me. So, after our discussion about it, I liked his perspective, and I stopped praying for a job and started praying for a situation where I could serve the Lord better. Well, about 6 months later, I found a company. At that time, it was in Tampa, Florida. They've since moved to Livonia, Michigan, that I contacted, and they weren't ready to do any hiring for engineering, but they said, well, we need somebody in sales. Says, well, we can't hire you. We can just bring you on as a manufacturer's representative, and we'll give you a generous commission, and you know that we would like to do that with you. Well, I talked with my wife, Sister Kathy, about it, and for us, it was a no-brainer, only because there was no other employment opportunity available to us at that time. So I signed a contract with them, and again, that was 1 year ago. Here we are in July 2011. In the past year, actually since the beginning of the year, the whole year, but I've sold three things. I've had three sales during that time. Well, this is quite different, and it's been a real instruction to our faith, because my whole career I had a paycheck coming in every week, as I think probably most of you have. Now I'm basically self-employed, and I don't make anything unless I sell something. Fortunately, the equipment that I sell, when I make a sale, I get a decent paycheck. But we've been thinking and praying about it, and the Lord has answered just about every prayer. The situation I have now with my job, quote unquote, at least with my contract with this company, I have complete freedom. I do have to do a lot of traveling, but I get to see brethren a lot. I have the whole East Coast of my sales territory, all the way over to Tennessee and Kentucky and Ohio. So it's a very, very large, it's a good one, almost one-third of the country, certainly a quarter. But it gives me opportunity to serve the brethren. When I'm not traveling, I'm working at home, and we've been involved in a project of converting cassette tapes into MP3s. So I asked the Lord for an opportunity to serve him better. I got it. The Lord was faithful. On the other hand, you know, the flesh is still having a problem with not having a weekly paycheck. You know, when you get your weekly paycheck, well, here's your bills, here's what you have left over, and you save that. Well, now I don't have a paycheck, and so nothing to save. But again, I have to confess that I'm getting a sale just about the time when I have a financial need. I do not lack right now. I'm paying my bills. And I thought again that this is an arrangement that the Lord has done in Bible history. Do you remember when the Israelites were wandering in the wilderness? Remember how the Lord fed them with the manna? How much manna did he give them each day? Enough for that day. And then I thought about Elijah and the widow of Zarephath. She had the barrel of flour and the cruse of oil. Now, how much was there for them to make bread each day? Well, enough for that day. The Lord is giving me what I need for each day. he's not giving me what would be more comfortable to flesh, a little bit extra, you know, where we can put something aside. I don't have that. But what he's teaching me is, look, I said I would take care of you, and he is. So I raise my my voice in praise to the Heavenly Father. I also want to thank the brethren. We've never asked for any help from the brethren, but especially before I had this situation, and since there has been some real generosity from the brethren, and it's much appreciated. But I just want to tell the brethren that the Lord is the keeper of his promises. That's not something you don't know, but to have it experientially, and to see the Lord keeping his promise, and to have the increased opportunities for service, I couldn't be happier. So praise the Lord. Praise our Heavenly Father. Keep me in your prayers that I might be faithful.
Thank you, Brother Stein. That is a wonderful testimony. It is true that the Lord will keep his promise and he will never forsake us. He always gives us sufficient of our needs. Who will be next? Oh, Brother Jim.
Yeah, forgot one thing, and actually two things. So my wife's sister Teresa was sick yesterday, so I didn't think I could make it, but she seemed healthy this morning, so she said, you go. And she sends her love to one and all, a little class in San Gabriel Valley, sends warm love, Christian love to you all, and the convention, the general convention, also ordered you to do the same.
Thank you again for your testimony, and also extend our love to your wife, Sister Teresa.
I'm Sister Camille Martin from the Chicago area, and it's a blessing for us to be here. I bring the love of my sister Carolyn Rockefeller. She's in Ann Arbor, Michigan now, and other family members, Tom and Cheryl Rigidello, and Russ's parents, and General Convention of Bill. It's really a blessing for me to be here because I have never been to the San Diego area, and being at this convention is really wonderful. I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying seeing Sister Carol and others that I've known over the years. Sister Carol and I go way back to the Michigan days, and of course Brother Jim serving at seminars when I was a kid. Even though we're not that much different in age, we're always much older. So it's nice to see you in your own context in your part of the country. We're real spoiled in Chicago because we have a lot of brethren who come through, and we know a lot because they have come our way, and it's nice to be able to travel. We are not, Russ and I are not really international travelers, but we have gone some places in the country, and it's nice to be here now. I am a teacher by trade, and in my classroom I have a very diverse population of students, and our teacher population is very diverse. And this year I had a real special blessing because a person that came into my classroom to serve as some of our Indian or bilingual students was a woman from southern India. And she told me right away that she was a Christian, and she was able to identify who the Christians were on staff, and that her husband is a Baptist minister in our local suburban area. And so it was really a blessing to have her around for a few minutes every day. And especially when I think that was stressful in the classroom, she could always come up with scripture. And it was just fun to have that person to bounce thoughts and scriptures back and forth. Well, the last week of school, she was planning to take off to go to India. She had not been home to see her family there in about 7 years. She was very excited about going with her two young children. She had a three-year-old and a five-year-old. She said, they have never met my father, and he is a minister in India. Well, 2-3 days before she was going to leave on her trip, her father had a massive heart attack and died. And she was extremely distraught, just extremely. I've never seen her upset about anything. She had a calm, beautiful Christian disposition. She just couldn't understand why God would permit this, that she so wanted her father to meet her children. So I gave her some DVDs. I said, we'll be on the plane. We want to take a look at these. And she says, I'm trying to be strong in my faith, but I just don't get that. And she says, I know God permits things for a reason. And it was hard. And I can't really wait to see her in the fall when we go back to school. I have two more years till I retire, and I can't sit. I'm real excited about going back, but I'm going to make it to the end. I have two more years. But there are certain people that I think the Lord has brought into my life, and I think we all feel that way, that there's a reason you're at the place at the time. And she's one of them that's just on my mind a lot, because I want to talk to her some more. And we have a very good relationship right now, and I think this will be a perfect opportunity to maybe ease into some of the doctrinal things that I've kind of avoided, because sometimes once people find out you don't believe in some of the real strong things they hold on to, it kind of shuts a lot of doors. But hopefully we've got enough of a good rapport. So if anything, I'd ask your interest in those, in your prayers in those regards. At one time in the past, we had some Chinese neighbors that were, they've since moved away, but I found out they were working in the underground Christian movement into China. And now I wish they were there, and I wish I had said more. I found this out too late, so I want to keep my eyes open to opportunities and try to discern the Lord's leadings and all these things. So thank you for all your blessings. It's wonderful to be in the home of Bob and Terry Grand. They've been wonderful hostesses and hostess. And the other thing is the color purple, and I'll end, but at General Convention, at a Bible class, and it was for the little kids, and one of the subjects was the color purple is used in Scripture. So it's royalty, and there's a lot of lessons there, and the dye is so valued because it comes from shellfish, and that's where they got the dye from. So it's beautiful to come here and see purple as the color and just have the lessons. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. I'm sure that as the Lord comfort you, you'll be able to comfort those that is in need. And this is one of the privileges that we as the Lord's footstep followers, we all have this. And we understand that we've been comforted. And a lot of peoples in other denominations, they sometimes look for comfort from us. They point us out. And I'm sure the Lord will add his blessing to you. Do I have more time?
This is the end of it.
I thank each and every one of you for your testimony, and the Lord has blessed.
Thank you, Brother Hicks. We have the testimony meeting until 4:30, and it's now 4:30, so it's the close of it. I'd like to use hymn number 229 to close with.
Thank you.
half an hour intermission, at which 5 o'clock we'll gather again for Brother Paul Malley. Is that Brother Hicks? Nicholas.
Our Father, who art in heaven, Heavenly Father, we give you all the praises and thanks for the wonderful love that you have for mankind, that you gave your only begotten Son. Heavenly Father, we are thankful that we've been called out of darkness to your marvelous light of truth. We are thankful for the privilege to be able to assemble ourselves with those of like faith, wherein we may comfort one another and build one another up in spiritual faith. Heavenly Father, be with those that are going through trials. Be with the brethren throughout the world, wherever they may be. Heavenly Father, we patiently wait for your kingdom to be established in the earth. For all of mankind will receive a blessing. Heavenly Father, we ask the blessing upon each and every one here today with bowed heads. Bless us during our fellowship. We ask all things that we request in Jesus' name. Amen.